Welcome to this episode of Against the Mountains of Madness. I'm your host, Jason.
And I'm John C. Wright.
And on this episode, we're going to talk about how angels become devils, which is a fancy way of saying if you try to put second things first, you'll spoil everything. So, now I suppose we should clarify. First things are things that should be of primary allegiance to you. And the reality is there's only one first thing, and that's God. And second things...
You could say it...
Go on.
You could say it another way.
Sure.
Whatever you put as your first thing becomes God.
Well, that's true.
So it becomes your God. So whatever you have, if your God is not God, the all good, the all beautiful, the all lovely, the all truthful, the all rational, if you put anything else above him, you're not going to get him, and you're not going to get the thing you're putting above him either. Mm. It's going to turn sour. It's going to become corrupted and turn sour. Mm. That's the point of our if you put an angel, any angel, no matter how good, you put on the throne of God, you put above God, turns into the devil.
Well, the better the angel you try to put on the throne, the worse it will become when it's corrupted too.
Right. Let me spit out an example or two just to make it clear what we
of
mean.
Of course.
Toleration. Toleration is a good thing. We should all be tolerant of each other. But when toleration becomes your God, when you put toleration above justice, courtesy, society, law, if it becomes your highest good, it becomes intolerance. It's just you use toleration as a bludgeon to drive away everyone who has standards. Skepticism. Everyone thinks you should be a little hard-nosed, a little skeptical, and not be gullible, right? Skepticism is a perfectly good thing. But when it becomes your God and you're skeptical about everything and you go, what if reality is not real? What if I don't exist?
You lose your mind.
Well, why don't we start by assuming you don't exist and see where we get from there? Yeah, it becomes nihilism. It becomes the belief that there's it becomes the idea that there's no ideas. It becomes a truth that there's no truth. It becomes nihilism. Hmm. Caring for the poor is a good thing. It's a really good thing, okay? Generosity, altruism. But if it becomes your God, if you say caring for the poor is so important that we should throw down the rich and undo every institution in society that makes the poor, that keeps the poor down, you become a communist. And the communists, I don't think I need to emphasize, after a multi-millions of deaths at their door, what they become is they all become liars, they all become mass extortionists, they all become mass thieves, and they all become mass murderers. Now, that should not seem necessarily to be the case. Why should compassion to the poor lead you to mass murder? Because it's disordered. Because you've put it above justice, and so you become unjust. You've put it become truth, so you become untruthful. You put it above humanity, so you become inhuman. Advocating for your own viewpoint is a good thing. But if you make advocating for your own viewpoint your God, then you lose all objectivity. You become fake news. You become propaganda. You lose the gift of speech. You enter into the Tower of Babel, and all you can talk is newspeak.
Yep.
All you can talk is political correctness. So there's nothing. Now, think of any good thing, no matter how good it is. Romantic love. Love conquers all.
Oof.
Okay? Well, so I'm in love with my sister or my brother. Does that mean I should become a homosexual, incestuous pederast or something? Well, if it's love, love is love. No, sorry.
Well,
love is not love.
That's literally how they
argue.
If you
put it above family, what's that?
That's literally how they argue. That's certainly the logic of their position, unfortunately. That is where that's going to end. But
And so that ends with, if you use it as an excuse for everything, then they'll use it as an excuse for anything.
Hmm.
And it doesn't matter what the excuse is. Compassion for the poor, romantic love, skepticism, tolerance, name something. No matter what it is, if you make it the highest good, then you're only really using it dishonestly. You're only really using it to bludgeon other goods that you should keep in balance or that should have a higher priority.
Mm. But also, like, they go, the higher the good, the worse it is when it goes bad, too. I mean, like, they doesn't... If you try to make your highest good the pursuit of particularly flavorful ice cream, the worst that'll happen is you'll get really fat.
Or you'll rob ice cream stores.
If it gets completely out of hand, you'll be breaking into steal the secret formula to the new ice cream. I guess it could get absurd, but I mean...
Right.
It's not actually...
But you're not going to be a mass murderer.
It's not going to get that...
There's not going to be pogroms. You're not going to put up the chocolate camp where everyone who likes vanilla is going to be herded to be exterminated. Okay, that's not going to happen.
Maybe this is where we've gone
the
wrong.
The vanilla tyranny is not happening.
Maybe this is where we've gone wrong as a society. We've tolerated all those chocolate-loving freaks. But
yeah, hey, wait a minute. I didn't realize you were a vanillaist.
But yes. No, but I mean, like, that could go wrong. But
lips that never touch Rocky Road will never touch mine.
But yeah, but I mean, like, you know, a love of ice cream that's out of kilter, you'll get really fat. You'll probably die early of a heart attack or something. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah.
And you'll annoy your family.
Yeah, yeah.
But when what's out of kilter is a vision for how all of human society should be reorganized.
Yeah,
and you say nothing else matters than this. Here's what you do. You say, look, I'm not trying to improve society. I'm trying to make utopia. Well, if I'm trying to make utopia, then what's the cost I'm willing to suffer for that? Well, the good of utopia is infinite, is incalculably high.
It's heaven.
So the price I'm willing to pay should also be infinite.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many people I have to kill. Once I've killed all the Jews in Germany, then Germany will be the greatest country in the world. And we all want Germany to be the greatest country in the world, don't we? Sure. Okay. Well, we all want people to be free and equal, and the only way to equality is for them to have equal incomes, right? Sure.
No.
The only way to have them all have equal incomes is for all of them to have all equal property. Sure. So all we have to do is destroy the concept of private property, put all the property into the hands of Big Brother, and have him distribute it freely. Sure. And then Big Brother has to maintain his power in order for him to be able to do that, and so he has to have secret police. Falsely accuse people who may be enemies of the state and haul them away to Nazi death camps where they're not just tortured and dehumanized but also killed arbitrarily or even sometimes spared arbitrarily just so that they have no idea what's happening to them. Sure. I mean, utopia, right?
Well,
if you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet and you say, well, this is going to be an infinite omelet, then you're allowed to break an infinite number of eggs. If it's any lesser good, if you're willing to say, look, I'm willing to break the law for the sake of the good, but only if and when the possible good will outweigh the possible harm that will come from breaking the law, only in a certain circumstances where the officers of the law are themselves disobeying the law that I'm trying to uphold. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you keep the good in proper order, you can say it's allowable in this case for you to steal a loaf of bread to feed your starving family. That's allowable in this one case, but you still have to pay for it once you get a job.
Mm.
You know? You still have to have 40 lashes because you're willing to take 40 lashes so your family doesn't die, right? You see? You can still keep the thing in its proper order.
Yes.
But not when you're dealing with utopia. Not when you're dealing with guys who want to remake the world.
No.
Or, in the case of modern politicians, they want to remake reality. They want to remake biology.
Oh, they're insane.
They want to make it so that men are women and women are men. They're insane, but it's also they don't have God as God.
No.
Because if God is God, then truth is true. Then there's a reality, including a moral reality, that they don't get a say in. They don't get to say what's true and false. Only God has knowledge of good and evil, see?
Well,
If they have to remake reality so that we all have to agree on certain falsehoods, and we all have to recite them in unison, and we all know they're false, and they know they're false, and we know they know, then they need absolute power, because without absolute power, you can't get humans to act that way.
Mm.
You can't get people to operate against their own self-interest in the long term, except by enslaving them.
Mm.
You can do it for a while by tricking them, by appealing to their better nature to do something worse.
But
that's what all this is. That's what when you put a second thing above a first thing, that's you. It's always white blackmail. You always say, hey, you have compassion for the poor, and you go, yeah, I do have compassion for the poor. Well, then let's have a scientific cultural revolution and a socialist cultural revolution here in China and kill uncounted billions of people. That'll help the poor. Really? The Ukrainian famine, starving the farmers, is going to help the poor somehow? Yeah, well, we'll take their food and give it to my supporters in Moscow. By the way, I'm referencing Stalin's orchestrated famine in Ukraine, which the New York Times, I believe it was, Durante, did not report on in America. For the greater good.
Apparently
he put something he put a secondary good above telling the truth. So he became a liar. What a Pulitzer Prize, though. Still has it. It was never given back.
Well, I'm always struck by when people try to I've always noticed it in the sexual realm. That maybe sounds worse than I intended it to. But when people try to enthrone sexual behavior of some sort as, well, no, just sexuality and chasing after sexual pleasure as enthrone that as their highest good. Have you ever met such people? I mean,
I used to read science fiction stories, and so I would come across Ayn Rand, who thought that adultery was perfectly fine if you were really in love with the guy, because in her worldview, love is always the representation of your highest values. I came across Robert Heinlein, who said, if it doesn't harm any third party, then any sexual deviation is perfectly acceptable. And that was the common belief when I was young, was the sexual revolution. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the sexual revolution did about as much good for sex as the French Revolution did for the French, by which I mean it led to the terror.
Well,
it led to the... what's going on is ecstasy is the closest thing a materialist, an atheist, has to heaven. Sexual ecstasy.
But,
so he's got to elevate it to the highest good and say it should not be restrained by anything. That's what the sexual revolution was. It said, let's tear down all the barriers to sexual expression in order to make everyone happy. And ladies, are you happy now with your suicide rate up, with the divorce rate up?
I've noticed, but if you look at a lot of these sorts of people, you hear about them with, you look at, what's his name, the pedo that wrote the book that said everyone was gay, or like a really large percentage of the, Alfred Kinsey. So I was thinking
Kinsey.
but you look at like the people that are chasing sexual pleasure as their highest good. I mean, they'll obviously cheat on their partner in pursuit of something higher, but they also, it drives them to more and more out of kilter sexual behavior where they're doing weird things and, you know, like,
let's just call it Epstein Island
behavior. But not even that. I mean, like, okay.
Once you're dressing up like a dog and having sex with someone from your own sex who's underage, you're pretty weird.
I mean, it's even things like, okay, if you're of a delicate sensibility, you've been warned, cover your ears. Kinsey was inserting things in his penis, in his urethra, to make it wider as for sexual pleasure. And like that's weird.
All evil is self-destructive, and you and I both know why.
Because
there's there's true pleasures and there's false pleasures.
Yeah, that's true.
True pleasures is when your brain correctly signals that the thing that's pleasing you is good for you, and a false pleasure is when your brain incorrectly signals that something that is pleasant in the short term is good in the long term. And it's actually bad for you.
That's
in the long
true.
Term. Okay, so anyone who says pleasure is the goal doesn't distinguish between true pleasures and false pleasures. So he puts the pleasure above the other principles in his good. He puts pleasure on the throne of God.
Pleasure becomes God. I get that.
Well, pleasure is a very fickle and horrible tyrant.
That's true.
And when you're pursuing a false pleasure, the whole point of a false pleasure is that it doesn't actually... The signal is false. It's a red light rather than a green light. It tells you to go when you should stop. It's a false signal.
Ah, yes.
It's just as much a lie as if I call a cat a dog. It's just an emotional lie rather than a lie in words, if that makes sense. It's a falsehood. It's a false-to-fact association. Mm-hmm. So you have a false picture in your head, and you pursue the false picture, and what happens is you don't get the pleasure you were promised.
Oh, no.
And I assure you, Eros, the great god Cupid, promises everything. Lifelong, infinite ecstasy, okay? With the perfect woman, the one who's the culmination of all your dreams. Okay, so you betray your spouse to go off with your true love, but it's a false pleasure. That wasn't your true love. That's just a girl. She's got the same flaws as every other girl and the same virtues. And reality turns out to be real, which is not what you were hoping. Mm. So then you need something more extraordinary. You need two girls.
That's true.
You need a younger girl.
That's true.
You need a girl dressed up in dressed like the maid, or dressed in a cute nurse's outfit, or dressed like a Nazi with a whip. It just gets weirder and weirder.
No, that's it.
Because
I mean, yeah.
you need more and more cocaine up your nose to get the same hit, the same pleasure you got the first time you were exposed to it. And the cycle never ends.
No.
You just get weirder and weirder and weirder.
Isn't it? I mean,
because what's really going on is the pleasure comes from breaking, transgressing the moral boundaries.
That's true.
The fruit has to be forbidden. Well, once you're in the garden of pedo and the fruit is free, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says, take and eat as much as you wish. Well, that's not enough then. That fruit doesn't satisfy you. You've got to get a bigger and worse fruit. You have to start eating the cactus now. Okay? And it's always self-destructive. It's always things, drug abuse always ends up killing you. Alcoholism always ends up destroying your brain. And sexual adventures always end up making you more and more miserable, suicidal, and you take weirder and weirder risks.
Yeah.
And the actual fetishism becomes more and more particular.
It gets weirder and
where
weirder.
Only this kind of shoe and that kind of girl and this color lipstick and that this scenario plays out with some underage goat or it has to be in public or it has to be with a child or something. You just turn into a freak.
Yeah.
Because you're running away from... What's really happening is away from God, and you're trying to destroy the image of God in yourself. You're trying to destroy your own manhood, your own humanity. And so you're losing reason, which is a symbol of humanity. You're losing your moral character, which is a symbol of humanity. You start to lose your creativity.
Mm.
That's why woke people can't write books anymore.
Mm.
They used to be able to, but they lost that part of the God that was in them. They lost that image and likeness of God. They lost their sense of reality. Because the worst things are now the best things.
Mm.
The worst possible sexual behaviors that are the most destructive now become the highest good, you see. Mm. And so you feel compassion for people and you say, well, look, women have been treated badly by society in the past. Let's elevate that on a pedestal. Let's make them the victims. Well, wait a minute. The transsexuals are even more victims. Guys who dress like girls, they were always picked on. You know, well, wait a minute. Are those guys actually good for society? Are they good for you? Do you want your children around them?
No.
And you go, oh, you're a bigot if you don't want your children to be exposed to pedophilia. It's liberating. No, it's not liberating. If you take off the guardrails, you're going to fall off the cliff. That's what the guardrails are for.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, I'm sorry if my metaphor is a little obscure.
No.
If there's a wall around the edge of the cliff and someone says, that's a prison wall, and you go, oh, no, I've got to scale the prison wall. Knock down that wall. And the wall's knocked down, and then you fall off the cliff. You go, wait a minute, maybe that wall was there for a reason, you moron. Well, why do people do something so stupid, so obviously stupid? It's because they put the second things first.
Yeah.
They put the bright angel Lucifer on the throne of God to elevate him above the highmost. And they say, this sexual pleasure is the highest, most powerful passion in the human heart. Let's make it number one.
You know what the irony?
Well,
you know,
once you make it number one, you get anarchy.
You know what the irony?
You get a breakdown of the family.
Yep.
You get a breakdown of society. People don't trust each other anymore because they can't. And you incentivize destructive behaviors. Bastardy goes up.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Drug abuse goes up. The bastards look for father figures, so gang membership goes up. Tribalism goes up.
It goes more and more astray. But do you know what the real irony of all of that is?
I don't.
Oh, well, the thing I've always found the most ironic, when they survey people... couples that married as basically, well, married as virgins or have only had sex with each other at least, have had no other sexual mm-hmm. partners, and mm-hmm. you know, they're normally religious in this. They're normally Catholics, Christians, maybe Muslims. I don't know, probably not actually in practice. But anyway, the people that have basically had the one sexual partner for life report the greatest satisfaction when it comes to sexual relations with one another, but.
I am well aware of that, and I used to boast about that on my in a column I wrote, and readers would write in and say, oh no, you Christians just have no fun with sex, unlike we wild hedonists. And I said, no, you're wrong. The most sexual pleasure you can possibly get is A, with your spouse, because then there's no tension and horror involved. You're not going to be stabbed in the back, especially if you're Catholic, because she can't divorce you. Okay. Two, when you're trying to make a baby. Because when your woman is artificially sterile, it actually messes up her brain. She becomes less attractive. Did you know, for example, that they did a test where women would walk by in silhouette, not even looking at the woman, just looking at her silhouette on a screen, and men would rate how attracted they were to her, and that 9 times out of 10, when you added up the men's scores for who was most attractive, it was always the woman within her 7-day fertile period for the month.
That's
okay?
Interesting.
And not only that, but the way they walk, the way their hips sway, is the reason why high-heeled shoes are popular, because it makes a woman artificially mimic that stride, that step, that rhythm, you see?
I do know...
Men are attracted to fertile women. If you're on the pill, men will be less attracted to you. They will not pick up the pheromones or whatever the subtle hints are, you know, and their testosterone will go down. Their T level will get lower if they're in an environment when there's no... fertile women around.
I do know.
Biologically.
No. I do know the reverse is also true. They've been. I believe they've done studies on it. There's certainly many, many anecdotal reports of it, of women who were on artificial birth control, who, you know, meet their partner, fall in love, get married, then they decide to have a baby, so they obviously have to come off the artificial birth control. And now right. they just find their partner disgusting. They're not attracted to them anymore. It changes
it
what they find attractive.
It messes up your brain. Right. Now, I think everyone who mocked the Humanae Vitae, the encyclical letter from the Pope back in the 60s, warning everyone not to use birth control, everyone who mocked that letter owes him an apology.
Of course they do.
Okay? And the Catholic Church will be very gracious about it. We will accept the apology if you repent and do penance. But you also have to make amends for your evil doing and undo the Kinsey Report, undo the sexual revolution, undo all of this trash that threw us down a mountainside into the sexual anarchy where we now live, where we're so warped we can't even tell whether or not children should be exposed to kiddie porn in schools.
Well, most people understand that wood chippers have their place, but but some
speaking
people,
as a faithful Roman Catholic, I object to wood chippers. You should burn the people at the stake.
Well, I mean, if
on top of their own porn books.
I mean, in fairness, I suppose if we want to do justice to the words of Jesus, millstones. So.
Yes, you're quite right. I accept the correction with all due Christian humility. And besides, I'm kidding that the Inquisition should turn them over to the secular arm so that the anointed Christian king can take care of it in the proper due legal fashion.
Well, yes.
I mean, despite you being an Australian and me being an American, we're all Englishmen at heart. We really are. We love law and order. You know.
But, so. You know, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. There are people that are disordered to the point they don't understand or... their faculties are so corrupted, even if they understand this is a bad idea, they do it anyway because they value fitting in with the group more than they value their children, seemingly.
I earlier in this conversation said the sexual passion was maybe the strongest passion in the human heart. Mm. And I believed that for many years because it was told to me by Robert Heinlein, pervert, when I was a kid. By the way, I still don't forgive him for lying to a child.
Fair enough.
Though I like his science fiction, don't get me wrong.
He's a good writer.
Unlike some people, I'm willing to admit that a guy could be a good writer and be a bad man. That's because I know the muse visits who she will and doesn't only visit good people. Sometimes she visits alcoholics. I mean, come on. But I think that I'm wrong about that. There's one passion I think is consistently stronger than the sexual passion, and that's the desire to fit in. That's the conformist impulse. Because people will do almost anything not to be shamed in front of their brethren, you know. And the only escape from that I can see as a Christian is only if you're more afraid of God than you are of men will you lose your fear of men. Otherwise, you will do whatever the crowd says. And I speak from experience because when I was young and when I was an atheist, I was a nonconformist. Everyone I knew was a nonconformist. We're all afraid not to be nonconformist because any nonconformist would be shunned and mocked, and we couldn't possibly tolerate that. No. We were all nonconformists together in exact lockstep. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Greetings, world. This is John C. Wright. I and my compatriot, Jason Rennie, take up arms weekly against the mountains of madness that are afflicting and overwhelming the modern age. You are welcome here among like-minded souls, and I hope we have provided a work of insight, hope, or humor, and perhaps an explanation of the insanity that is the modern age. For more content and conversation on these and other fascinating topics of philosophy, science fiction, and current events, please visit our Substack at atmom.substack.com. Tips, bribes, and generous patronage are warmly encouraged. Thank you.
The strange part is, in the past, in pre-Christian cultures, we had... Well, they're honor-shame cultures, which are not like cultures we have today. They're actually very foreign. Although Islamic culture today is... non-Western cultures tend to be like this on the whole. Islamic culture particularly is like this, but the Greeks and the Romans were like this, where what mattered was you were honorable and you weren't shamed for your behavior. You were a good... You know, you were a good person, effectively, in the eyes of others. And that's that's a functional way to run a society to some degree, as long as your society is reasonably virtuous.
Sure, if you're ashamed of being a coward, you're going to have brave men. The Roman soldiers were brave. Yes. Romans committed suicide rather than face shame, and the samurai were the same way. You see?
Exactly.
And it didn't depend on whether or not you were good or bad man. It only depended on whether or not you were seen to be good or seen to be bad.
Which again, yeah, is functional up to a point, but, you know, if you can get away with something without getting caught, that's fine. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And also, if you are shamed unjustly, that's bad. I mean,
because it's the same. Well, like, you still yeah, lose Muslims, face even if you're falsely accused. Now, the problem is what it does is it makes you into a hypocrite. And by hypocrite, I don't mean someone who contradicts himself. I mean someone who wears a mask. The word hypocrite comes from those Greek masks, that comedy and tragedy masks that their actors wore on stage. It means you're only concerned with the outward appearance you give to others. You know, your reputation. Now, like you just said, it can be really useful. If society demands courage from men, you will not let the flag of the regiment drop for the sake of the honor of the regiment. You'll die rather than let the flag drop. Okay? And if society places a high value on truth, you'll speak the truth in public, or you'll be made to seem so.
You'll try.
But
to
if your society has gone crazy, and your society says, let's place a high value on sexual perversion, whoever is the most perverted sexual person, let's say a guy who dresses up as a girl and molests children, then you will be shamed, publicly denounced, silenced, what we now call canceled, you say, no, let's be chaste, let's not molest children. You see, there your society. Then your society has gone.
How dare you?
Then your society has gone insane, and the shame, the mechanism has been decoupled from the engine. So instead of hitting the brake, you're hitting the accelerator. Instead of hitting the accelerator, instead of the brake, the red light has turned green. The green light has turned red. You're actually doing things that are openly evil only because society encourages them. That's the problem with the shame culture. The problem is you're a slave to your social opinion, and the question is, how do you become free? How do you look like a free man surrounded by slaves?
Well, the interesting thing is that ancient culture, although, as you note, we seem to be in a hurry to revive it for some reason.
Well, you know the reason.
Because we're moving
away from God is the reason.
Well, of course. But all of that changed with the coming of Christianity, because Christianity is about guilt before God. It doesn't matter so much what your neighbor... If your neighbor thinks poorly of you, as long as you are right in the eyes of God, that's what's important.
Right.
And I mean, that can go wrong as well, because people who will do great evil because they think that's what God wants them to do. I mean, you've got to be doing Christianity rightly for this to work, but... Nevertheless,
it's
changed where...
We have about a quarter...
What matters is what's internal.
We have about a quarter of the world's population who thinks that God has demanded the extermination of the Jews. They want to do right for God, and merely mortal incentives and disincentives are not going to deter them, not even death. So that's the disadvantage. Because, as we said at the beginning of this conversation, if you put the wrong thing at the highest level, if you enthrone a devil as a god... If you throw in an angel as a god, like even something as good as piety, even something as good as loyalty to God, if you put that above God, it turns into a devil, you see. And the thing about the difference between guilt and shame, now I'm a Catholic. I'm all in favor of guilt. I became a Catholic rather than becoming something else because I thought I needed more guilt in my life. but it's entirely internalized then, see. Now, I have to say that I've always been a Western man. I've never been a guy who was motivated by the opinions of others. Like I said earlier in the conversation, I was a nonconformist along with everyone else in my generation. But when the science fiction writers of America, if I can boast for a second, and I shouldn't because it's always foolish to boast, but when the science fiction writers of America decide to start harassing and expelling people, science fiction writers, for their political opinions and not their writing ability, I very publicly, and with as much fettle and spleen as I could muster, quit the guild and took back my dues money. And I had wanted to be a member of that guild since I was a child, okay? I wanted to be a science fiction writer. I wanted to be among them and have them be my peers. But when my peers go crazy and start saying, oh, no, we're no longer science fiction writers. We're now a political group who's here to help the revolution, to help progressivism. I would say, no, science fiction is about science. Science is about reason. Progressivism is about unreason. Get out of my face, you freaks! Okay? Now, a Christian who's afraid of God cannot be afraid of man, because men's opinions will pass away. The same people who would disapprove of you...
But...
What's that?
I said, well, you can be, but in the ideal, you're not afraid of man.
It's the goal.
And
it's the goal.
That's certainly... It's certainly what you're called to, and it's certainly... It's certainly the occasion that most Christians will rise to when push comes to shove.
If
they don't abandon the faith. Or abandon the faith.
I wish. I mean, when push came to shove in my country about COVID and they said, we're going to close the church and leave the strip bars open, all the Christians, except for one or two, said, yes. Yes, sir. And when the government said, bend over and turn up your butt so we can kick you in the ass as hard as possible, all my fellow Christians said, yes, sir, we will do what you say. Hail Satan. And I was like, wow, really? Really? You guys, you call yourself Christians? I was ashamed. But we just said shame just means being embarrassed in the eyes of others.
Well, I mean, that desire not to be shamed in the eyes of others runs deep. It's because it's not a bad thing. It is a good thing.
You need it.
It can't be a high thing.
You need it for social cohesion.
It can't be the highest thing. Yeah.
Earlier, I were talking about how men are naturally hunters and women are naturally gatherers. And when you're on the hunt, you get together with a band of brothers. And you don't have to like each other, but you do have to work together, okay? And so there's a guy who was in the military who once told me that he hated everyone in his squad, but he was willing to die for them. And they felt the same way about him, okay? Because when you're on the hunt, you either get the game or you don't. And if you don't get the game, you starve, see? Mm. And so shame is really important, because shame is what will make you keep up. And back in the old days, you would wound the animal and then run after him. And the reason why dogs are our friends is because in the Stone Ages, we made a deal with the wolf and said, run alongside us and you'll get part of the meat. And the dog said, okay. And they've kept that bargain. Because dogs are also, like humans, are persistent cursorial hunters. Persistence hunters. Because we didn't have the weapons to actually kill the beast in one shot. We usually would wound the deer or whatever and then just run after it for a day or two or three. And humans are better runners and can last longer than any other animal on the earth. Okay? Except for dogs, who can run alongside us. So men are cursorial persistence hunters like dogs are. Well, if the guy in the back is lagging, he will be shamed to try harder because he'll say, hey, Og, you're not keeping up with Og, and he'll run faster. But in the military, when they were trying to train women to go into combat, and women would jog around the track and were doing physical PT, okay, you couldn't say that to a woman. You would say, hey, Jane, you're not keeping up with Molly. And Jane would say, well, I'm not Molly. I heard this from a trainer in the military. I heard this exact anecdote. But he found out that if you said, oh, if you don't keep up, you'll let Molly down, that would get her to run. So shame does work for men and women, but it works differently. Okay? Mm. But guilt before God, that's a different thing. If you're afraid of God, you can't be afraid of man, not if you're doing it right. See?
Yeah.
And I think that's all. I think that's the fundamental reason why Christian society did things like abolish slavery, give equality to women, political equality to women, things like that, because we weren't primarily concerned with public opinion, even of ourselves. See,
there we go. Yep. No, I get it. What can you?
Now we're as we move away from God,
to make one of the greatest civilizations.
As we move away from God, we're sliding back, and the reason why we're sliding back is because we're now putting second things above the first things. In this particular case, the second thing we're putting above the first thing is tolerance. We're saying, let's treat all cultures as equal. Let's say the Aztecs were just as enlightened and civilized as the Romans. And you go, well, yes, but I don't think the Romans had mass human sacrifice. In fact, the Romans, one of their sticking points with the Carthaginians is the Romans objected to mass human sacrifice, even though the Romans did occasionally practice human sacrifice. But you can't say, I mean,
it's interesting.
Are you going to actually say those two things are equal in your eyes? You know?
I was going to say, it's interesting you bring up the Aztecs. I wonder, because there are stories of their great city they built, their great floating city they built, I almost wonder. I mean, we don't have the records.
It was an engineering marvel. It was one of the wonders of the world.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Not just that. I wonder if I had the thought, but you'd need a time machine to confirm it. I wonder if, in a sense, the Aztec culture was higher and more developed than ours, but it doesn't have God, and that's why it also had the insane, like the human sacrifice, where they'd tear the beating heart from the victim and then skin them and run around wearing the skins and, like,
and they would beat little girls to death to make them cry because the girls' tears made it rain.
Like, yeah.
The answer is yes. Like, the answer is their society is more morally advanced than ours. You know why? Because when they committed human sacrifice, it was to keep the sun lit. They thought the sun would go out if they didn't do that. When we kill babies, our own babies, it's not the priest doing it, it's their own mothers, and they're doing it for their own convenience, not for the sake of the common good. So all the abortionists will have to be dragged up in front of the Aztecs, in front of the great mercy seat of God, when the second coming happens, and explain themselves, and it would be better to be in Sodom and Gomorrah or to be an Aztec than to be one of those people. So I'm sorry, we have more advanced.
I would think so.
We have flying machines and they don't, you know. As a right, I believe the flying machine
now.
is the only measure of a society's advancement, aerospace technology. But but I think in terms of morality, if you're gonna kill a baby, it's somehow better to kill them to keep the sun lit than to kill them to so that you don't have to take a pay cut. I'm sorry. That's just horrible.
Yeah.
Because what happens? What's causing that?
That's an interesting observation.
You would think that a mother protecting her children had to be the highest priority in her life. But it's not. What is? Her own self-comfort, her own self-satisfaction. She's putting us... Why is that devilish? Why is that abominable? Because abortion went from safe, legal, and rare to shout your abortion. How did that happen? That happened because they put a second thing, selfishness, above a first thing, love for child. You see?
Absolutely.
And so they put something above God, because God doesn't say kill the children. God, in fact, when Abraham was about to kill Isaac, sent the angel Ezekiel down to stay his hand and say, no, you are not killing any children for me. And none of the Jews were going to be more arrogant than Abraham. Well, look, if Abraham didn't do it, we can't do it. You know, Father Abraham didn't do it. The High Father didn't do it. We're not going to do it. But all their neighbors did. All their neighbors did because they said, well, the gods are more important than our children, which is kind of pious. I can understand that. But they had the wrong gods.
Well, you said something interesting. You said sliding towards when you were talking about our moral decay. Our culture isn't sliding towards anything, though. Our culture is running towards it. It's strange. Well, it's not strange, actually. I think I know why, but our culture isn't sort of eroding away and getting worse slowly. It's digging away at the foundations and trying to destroy.
We're not
them.
Strolling it's, toward know. The abyss. We're headed. We're full speed, pedal to the metal, with the nitro, with the nitro injection.
We have to turn the nitro on.
Yeah.
And
let me tell you why. It's a really simple answer. They've put something in front of God. They put progressivism in front of God. Progressivism, by its nature, says that opposites, reality consists of two opposites, a thesis and antithesis, which destroy themselves. Excuse me. Let me not get so abstract. Their philosophy is all based on abrogating social rules, on transgression. They've got to transgress any rule. Because their model is all evil, men are born good, all evil comes from reality, comes from society. It's always God's fault, never my fault. God is always the villain. Society is always the villain. So anytime I'm unhappy, it's society's fault. Anytime I'm unhappy, no matter what the unhappiness is, the solution is to destroy the institution of society that supports and defends that thing. Therefore, as rapidly as possible, we must destroy all social institutions, all norms, and all sources of good. And then we will achieve, suddenly and for no reason, the unicorns will simply belch out utopia. Now, the problem is there's no such thing as unicorns. That's the only flaw in the argument is that it's completely illogical, completely neurotic, absolutely insane, positively satanic. It is actually Satan's line from the book of Genesis, word for word. If you do the forbidden thing, you will become like gods. Your eyes will be opened and you'll be woke. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about you will see The sleepers believe the laws protect them and don't realize the laws enslave them. The sleepers believe the law of private property protects their private property, but all it does is enslave them and make them, shackle them into the workforce. The sleepers think that judging a man by his merits protects all races equally, but in reality it hurts the blacks. Judging people by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin hurts the blacks. That's what the woke believe, because they're awakened, they're enlightened. They've put enlightenment above God, and their enlightenment is, of course, benightedness. Their enlightenment is merely saying reality is my enemy, and my passions and my desires, my worldview, my illusions are more important than reality. They put dream above reality. They put the second things above the first things. That's why they change words.
And look how much harm they do. Look how much harm they do doing it. They don't, I mean, like, there's nobody, is there anybody better off as a group? I'm sure you could find individuals who are better off for all of these changes and innovations, for want of a better word, that have been wrought. Is anybody better off for them? I don't think so.
There might be some women who say that they have gone into professions they find rewarding, which in the earlier societies they would have been discouraged from doing. Though those claims are often grotesquely exaggerated, in my opinion. I actually think the women are much worse off than they were back when men liked women and cherished them and got along with them. And I want to go back to a society where men are in charge. Because men won't try to improve me. You see?
No, they'll leave you to it. They'll leave you alone.
They'll leave me alone. As long as I do the job, they'll leave me alone.
Mm.
Right.
Well, they'll punish you if you step too far out of
the
line.
But I'll know where the line is. But the line will be a clear line.
Yeah, and they'll by and large, as long as you do what's required of you, they'll leave you alone to pursue happiness as you see fit to some degree. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Up to...
They'll respect
as long as you stay inside the box.
They'll respect the rights that God and nature's and nature have granted me as a human being.
I'm sure if we have any female listeners, some of them are probably quite offended now that you suggest that they wouldn't do the likewise.
I doubt it. I think most of our female listeners probably know that they would rather have a man in charge than a woman in charge, and that women are not all that happy in the workforce, in the man's world, in the military, being lumberjacks. That women like to do female type things by and large. Usually women like babies.
No, I agree.
Okay. And they're kind of built for that.
No, but I meant the suggestion that women can't acknowledge the same leave men alone to, or like leave people alone.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Women can act in a manlike fashion for a time temporarily to fit into the man's world. But once they get into the majority or move into positions of power, they automatically change it to make it a social circle where...
Well, they become
women. Where they act like women. And
they do what their nature is.
And they get things done in female fashion, which is usually much more compassionate, I have to admit, much less legalistic, but also much more anarchistic. Because they don't really like having the rules.
Conciliatory.
It's conciliatory.
Well, yeah, they want everyone to get along.
Right.
Whereas men...
We don't care.
...are much more interested.
We want the goal done. We want the game killed and brought back to the sacred fire for the virgins to cook for us. Yeah. We're still cavemen at heart, but women are still cavewomen at heart. See, that's the problem. The problem is the progressive theory is that men and women can change their nature by an act of will, or by means of social conditioning, or by means of Pavlovian programming, and that is false.
They're Nietzsche's children.
They're Nietzsche's children.
The will to, effectively the will to power, or like the will to overcome, and is what is strongest in them. I always wonder what Nietzsche would make of, I mean, I'm sure he'd be absolutely disgusted by the modern world, but I wonder what, I always wonder what he'd make of, like, I've always said, in a perverse sense, particularly like the trans movement today is, that's Nietzsche's Superman. There are people who want to assert their will over reality more strongly than pretty much anyone else. Like, they're Nietzsche's Superman. I wonder what he would make of them.
G.K. Chesterton, that most brilliant of writers, once wrote a short story called How I Met the Superman. And he found a couple living in Nottinghamshire, England, or someplace, who had brought forth Superman, and he was in the cradle in the next room in the dark, because they had to keep him in an area where there was no open window, for fear the breeze would do him harm, and or the sunlight, and the main character, the newspaper man, pushes open the door to get a glimpse of the Superman. And when the sunlight falls on him, he evaporates because the baby is so weak and so crippled. And so the Nietzsche Superman is not the Superman of Siegel and Schuster. He's not the Superman of DC Comics. He's the opposite. No. The will to power is ultimately not satisfying. It's a false pleasure. It doesn't satisfy you. You can't worship. If you worship, it's a false god, because if the only thing you're going to worship is yourself, you're not that impressive of a god, and it's not going to satisfy you. And you can't save yourself. No. You know, worship Christ. He can save you. Worshiping you? What can you do for you? I mean, seriously, talk to Jordan Peterson for a little bit, okay? He'll tell you how hard life is, because he's met people who have been destroyed by life. As a practicing psychiatrist, he's met people whose lives have been destroyed by putting the second things above the first things, by a radically disordered worldview. All these leftists are people, they're not insane. There's nothing chemically wrong with their brains. But they believe an insane belief, and so they force themselves to act insane, and then they adapt to it, and then they get in a situation where they can't get themselves out of it. I don't think these people can save themselves. I think Christ can save them, but they have to turn to Christ to get saved.
Well, they won't. They can't get themselves out because
they'll be shunned.
Remember
what we were saying about the shame society?
Of course. Well, no, but I mean, they can't get themselves out because the first thing they have to do is admit they were wrong, and it's the one thing they won't do. They can't take that step.
It's the core of their philosophy. Their entire philosophy is based on hypocrisy, by which I mean their entire philosophy is based on having a different view of reality internally as externally. So that's why they say everything is. That's why they speak in political correctness. That's why they speak in newspeak. Because I think words don't reflect reality. Words reflect my willpower. I use words to manipulate people. That's all they're for. Okay? That's why they think that science is white oppression. That's why they think that logic is oppression. That's why they think that laws, rules, having differences of opinion is oppression. That's why they think speech is violence. That's why they think, I mean, just name something. Name a philosophy. Name a policy. Name a thing they think, and it's all based on the idea that a falsehood is more important than the reality about that idea. Reality is fluid. No man knows reality. Multiculturalism says we're all equal. No culture is better than the others. All men are equal except for the whites, who are inferior to everyone. And everyone's a victim.
Well, someone has to be.
Weakness is strength. Everyone's a victim means weakness is strength. All they're doing is relying on our Christian generosity to give them a hand up when they say, woe is me. The irony of pretending to be the victim when you're the establishment cannot be overstated. They're the ones in charge. Is there outrageous racism on our college campuses? Well, you're the ones running the campuses. Why do you have racism at your campuses? Is the white man oppressing the black man? Well, you're the ones running the inner cities. You're the ones running Detroit. Why are you oppressing the black man? You know? It's not us. Look, I believe in reparations. I think everyone who joins the Democrat Party in America should give half their wealth to the nearest, to Larry Elder or to some other wealthy conservative black man until they're out of money. And then they should shut up and, you know, go repent. Go to the confession booth and whip themselves until they repent, until they change their mind, until they suffer metanoia.
Yes. Well, this is the secret of Christianity, isn't it? The hardest and the... I've seen people mock Christianity saying, oh, it's too easy, but the hardest...
Good luck.
Well, no, but I mean, but the hardest and the easiest... I mean, Christianity is a religion of paradoxes? Maybe not paradoxes.
It is a religion of paradoxes, because life itself is paradoxical. As an atheist, if you try to tell me what love is, you're going to be involved in paradox. Love makes you a master and a slave. Love means you're completely helpless and completely overbearing. Love means that you can't eat, you can't sleep, and yet you have to look your best. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Yes.
No, okay.
There are paradoxes in Christianity because life is paradoxical.
But it's so, like, the simplest thing, Christianity's message is so simple. turn to God in repentance. Yep. Jesus has done it. Jesus has done it all. You can yep. turn around. You can become a saint, but it's also the hardest thing in the world because you have to say, "I was wrong. I can't do this on my own. I need your help."
You have to crucify your own ego.
I screwed this up. Yeah, I mean, it's
in order for
it's simultaneously the hardest and the easiest thing in the world.
You have to die to yourself and live to God. I hate to speak in riddles, but you have to. Your ego, your sense of pride, your Luciferian sense of pride, your self-will, your Nietzschean self, okay? The thing that the leftists worship in themselves when they say man is God.
Yeah.
They think men can redesign human nature, right? They think that human nature yep. comes from society, and society comes from the human willpower, right? So they think we have no free will, and we're programmed from society, but that we can use our free will to reprogram society, reprogram men to make us all perfect.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes perfect sense if you're a devil worshipper, if you believe that pride is the highest good, you see. If you believe the self comes before reality. If you believe God is the devil and the source of evil, the reason why you fail is because God's standards are too high. If you believe that, if you believe there's no God or that God, if he exists, is evil, then you side with the devil. You say, I want self-actualization. I want selfishness. I want self-will, I want self-pride, I want self-esteem. Okay? My self-esteem requires that you flatter me no matter what I do, and that you for not judge me, don't judge me, based on my sexual perversions, based on my failures in life. My failures are always the fault of society. My failures are always the fault of God. Okay? So, in order to be peaceful, we have to destroy society. And then once perfect anarchy reigns, we'll all live in perfect peace and harmony forever, amen, because that worked out so well the last 90 times we've tried it. So yeah,
but
the logic is there. Well, once you agree that A is equal to not A,
But you can get to anywhere. Once you allow that possibility, you can get to anywhere.
Right, right.
No, but
it's all based on ego. It's all based on hypocrisy. It's all based on I want to look good while doing evil.
No, it's true. But Christianity's message is
everyone's
so
a sinner and
good.
Everyone yeah. can be a saint. No one is beyond salvation. Not even Mussolini on the scaffold when they were hanging him. He cried out to God at the last second, and mystics have said that they've seen him in heaven. Okay? Mussolini! Look, if God can forgive Mussolini, that gives me hope.
Well, I've seen. Well, there's that meme of, it's the meme of the guy looking sad, and then Jesus is there, and he goes, and the implication, sometimes it has the text, is, you'll just forgive me? And Jesus says yes and embraces the guy, and then it's the happy smiley guy, like he's
right.
it's the broken down guy, and now he's sort of redeemed and happy
right.
guy. And then some people draw a little Hitler mustache on it and think they're making some clever point about how stupid Christianity is because Hitler was the most evil dude of all time. But I look at it and it's like, yes, that's it. You get it exactly.
You get it exactly.
I mean, I don't think Hitler repented.
No.
I think Hitler is damned for what he did. That's
sure.
fine. But yes, that was always possible. yes, exactly. You get it. That's how it works. You're never beyond salvation. You just have to turn around and
Christians say all men are sinners. And Christians say any man can be a saint.
You just have to...
The progressives say we are not sinners. Only you are sinners. And you can never be saints, and we're already saints.
Yeah, well,
that's
yeah.
the difference. See?
Well, that's true, but the gospel is. I was always amused at that one when they drew the Hitler mustache on it. Like, yes, you get it. You think this was an attack, but no, that's exactly it.
People who don't understand forgiveness,
like that's it.
People who don't understand forgiveness are scandalized by forgiveness. They can't understand how you can forgive the enemy. This is because their enemies are not based on an objective standard. Their enemies are based on Emmanuel Goldstein. They believe in the two-minute hate. I was exposed to two-minute hate once. I know what it's like. They think that any enemy of the party is an absolute enemy, and nothing good can ever be said about him. We Christians believe and are forced to believe that even the most worthless person has some good in him because he's made in the image and likeness of God and can be a saint. We believe kings can be saints. Look at St. Louis. We believe beggars can be saints. Look at St. Francis. We believe women can be saints. Look at St. Mary. We believe Jews can be saints. Look at St. Joseph. Okay? There's no one we think cannot be a saint. But we don't think anyone becomes a saint by his own effort, because he's progressive, because he's so enlightened, because he's so smart, because he's woke, because he's figured out how... They think enlightenment consists of seeing through illusions, and they think that what we think of as reality is illusion. Okay? Well, I'd be willing to put that to the test. Let's look at reality and see what reality says. But they say, no, wait a minute. That's, reality is not the umpire. I am the umpire. My internal sense of mystical belief is the umpire. I have a feeling that I'm higher than God. And I'm going to trust that feeling and not trust God. Now, they don't phrase it. They don't use those words to phrase it. But they do think their own internal sense of right and wrong, which says that if they do the same thing we do, they're right and we're wrong. If we abide by the exact same standards they abide by, then we're wrong, because we're the enemy.
Because we're the enemy. Yeah. But the thing is, I think at least part of it, certainly the one with not understanding drawing the Hitler moustache, actually makes the meme more perfect. I don't think those people understand themselves.
Certainly not.
Generally speaking,
again, because I hate to sound like a fanatic, but their whole philosophy is based on them trying as hard as possible with both hands, gritting their teeth, with their eyes screwed shut, trying not to understand themselves. They don't want to know what human nature is like. That's why they can't tell stories anymore. That's why all woke movies are terrible, because they don't know how the human soul acts, so they can't even tell a good story about it. They want to avoid self-knowledge at all costs. The mirror is their enemy, despite the fact that it's their altar. Well. Explain that one to me.
Another paradox. Well, but I mean, it always strikes me as weird when people go to Hitler as the worst man in history. I mean, he's not even the most murderous. But, no. I mean, it's fine.
That's an accident of history. That's because Hitler was the enemy of the communists during the 30s.
Well, that's fine. But I mean, even if we can agree Hitler was a very bad man, but it always strikes me as people that go to him as an example of a bad person. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, Hitler exterminated 6 million people that he regarded as the mortal enemies of the German people, who were seeking to destroy and overthrow Germany and were undermining it and were basically the enemies of mankind. Right. And he exterminated them. And I'm not defending that in any way, shape, or form.
Because if you were to defend it, you'd have to go to MIT... or Harvard, and then the faculty, the administrators, the dean would pat you on the head and say, as long as you don't act on that belief, that's okay. You can spread that belief. But yeah, he exterminated 6 million people. Stalin killed a lot more, and Mao killed 10 or 20 times that number.
Oh, of course. But the thing is, you say, oh, look how bad Hitler was. Look what he did. He killed 6 million Jews. Here's the thing. How do you know? I mean, like, not to put too fine a point on it, nobody's ever put me in the position with the power to exterminate 6 million people I regard as the absolute worst enemies of mankind, and that I will be doing a service to all mankind by exterminating them. Nobody's ever put that power in my hands and said, hey, what do you want to do? And I don't think I'm delusional enough to say, I'd say, no, that's wrong. You can't exterminate these people because they're made in the image of God. But
when you're...
I mean, I don't know. I've never been given that opportunity.
Because you're
to think I would obviously pass the test.
Because you're Christian.
I don't think I'm that good at. Well, I mean, all right, I would probably
pass the test. I mean,
because I'm a Christian, I'd have to answer to God. But I understand,
because you are a Christian, like, you doubt your own righteousness. You are correct to doubt it.
Yeah.
Because if I was put in that situation, well, that's it.
I don't know. I mean, thank God I've never been put in that position, and I've never had to discover I would fail that test. But, and I mean, the other thing is, the average person I hear making that sort of argument, or like who thinks that Hitler meme is clever and all the rest of it, those are people, they tend to be leftists.
They would have gone along.
They tend to They would do it.
They would have collaborated with the Nazis without question.
Given that I can exterminate people that I regard as enemies of mankind who are causing everything wrong in our society, and if we get rid of them, they do it. They wouldn't even hesitate.
They're now calling for the extermination of the Jews on college campuses while we speak at the time when this is being recorded.
Oh, yes.
Okay? So don't give me your holier-than-thou attitude, Mr. leftist. You guys are the guys who have killed more people in human history than anyone else. More than Genghis Khan have been killed by communism, killed by leftists, okay?
But that's it. These people would fail the... I can recognize... I don't know if I'd be a good enough person to brag, but I know they would do it. I don't mean to brag,
but I know myself better than you know yourself. If I were given that power, I would definitely abuse it, and I would kill 7 million people. Do you know why? Because I'm a bad guy at heart. If it weren't for Christianity, I wouldn't even be trying to be a good guy. I've written more than one science fiction novel exploring what would happen if I became the emperor of the world, John the Abominable. I would make the worst possible emperor, okay? I would be terrible. I would make everyone in Australia dress like munchkins and call their country Oz, okay? I would be bad for you. I'd be bad for... I would have racehorses be elected to the Senate. You know, I would have everyone... every woman is forced to carry a loaded gun at all times. I would burn all copies of the Quran on top of copies of James Joyce's Ulysses. I would just be a bomb. I would be terrible, okay? I would put a palace on top of Mount Everest built by slave labor. You know, I'd have the Rockettes as my personal servants. It would be the worst. It would be absolutely the worst. I'd make science fiction. I would make all rock and roll eliminated from the history books and replaced with a fake history of jazz, a jazz revival in America. No one would love John the Abominable, okay? He would be the worst emperor of all time. I would abuse power. That's why I don't want power. That's why I've got to be kept away. I'm never going to work in public office. I'm just a terrible guy, okay? But I don't drink and I don't smoke, so I give myself a pat on the back for that. I'm not tempted by some things, but I am by others. But look, if you're going to sit there and read Decline, Fall of the Third Reich, if you're going to read Nazi history, imagine yourself as the Nazi guard. You have a wife and a kid to feed. You don't want to get in trouble with your boss. These people, these Jews, they're probably communists anyway. You know? It was all lawfully done. You would make up a freaking excuse in your head. Okay? At least everyone I know would.
Now, if you're a guy like me
who is willing to tell the Science Fiction Writers of America to go take a hike, when they step out of line... Maybe I would be lucky enough to be thrown into the camps myself, but I don't. I got a family. No man knows whether he's brave or cowardly before the hour strikes. Nobody knows that about himself.
Well, I think actually the most interesting thing about it is we had this test recently as a society in the West.
And we flunked.
Not to the degree of how it went in Nazi Germany, but COVID wasn't that different, and I watched people I regarded as friends, because I never got the jab, and I watched friends turn on me. People I'd known for decades, who I thought were good people, turn on and denounce me, and were quite happy for me to be excluded and shunned from society. People who were reporting on their neighbors for having an extra car in the driveway, they might have been having visitors and were breaking the the number of people in the household rules, and like we witnessed it. We had the test.
And
that was the time.
Not a single person on earth voted for that.
And we failed.
There were a few churches that stayed open. But they said, the Catholic Church, stuck its butt in the air and said, please kick me as hard as you can, government. We will bow to the prince of this world. We will bow to the gods of the earth. But they kept the strip bars open.
Oh, hey, I would note. I mean, okay.
There were one or two priests who stood up. But please notice, it was worldwide. This was an effort by a worldwide group to see if they could exercise power. And the answer is, people were more afraid of a flu that killed less people than die on the highways in America every year, that had a 0% mortality rate up for anyone under 40. Okay? they were more afraid of that than they were of a complete tyranny, a complete total lockdown for 14 days, well, which turned into to a year and a half.
Yeah, you were. Oh, well, but I think a lot of people woke up and realized it went too far. I'm curious to see what will happen if they try it again.
There are people in my congregation, including a churchman, who still, to this day, wears a mask over his face when he appears in public.
Yeah, we still see them around here in Australia as well. But what I noticed, because I mean, my church, it abided by the government's edict and said, all right, we'll shutter for the sake of the common good. But I was impressed. They rolled out the vaccine passports here that said, you know, only the jabbed were allowed in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And they were going to impose that on the churches. And some of them were willing to go along with it. But my local Catholic parish, well, the diocese, said, we will not reopen until everybody is welcome. And actually, a local pizza shop did the same thing. They said, you could have sit-in dining as long as people were jabbed, and they said, we'll just stay doing takeout for people. We're not gonna go along with this. We will follow your rules that say we can't have sit down dining unless everybody is vaccinated or everyone is jabbed. You know, anyway, it's another conversation. We will not have sit down dining until everybody is welcome again. We're not going. I suppose the resistance they could have engaged in was they could have flipped them off, had sit-down dining, the right. Police would have raided them, shut them down, and arrested people.
Australians gave up all your guns a little while back, so you weren't in a position to resist your government. Sorry.
Well,
I have great admiration for the Australians. I thought you were all the children of criminals who simply would not abide by whatever the king's regulators we're going to say, but no, you guys caved.
No,
my guys caved too. All the Americans caved. I'm so embarrassed. We still have a First Amendment and a Second Amendment, Third Amendment written up on our piece of paper, and nobody believes it anymore.
What we discovered during COVID in Australia is Australia was a penal colony that consisted of jailers and the jailed, and it turns out we still are.
The sad thing is that among the Russian gulags, the prisoners used to be the ones put in charge of guiding the prisoners. Same thing happened in the Nazi death camps. There were Jews who were placed in charge of every group of 10 or 20 Jews. Same thing happened in Australia back in the day. The prisoners would be in charge of the prisoners. And they would just cooperate. Such is human nature.
Mm.
You know, if you want to get real revolution, you stupid leftists, become Christian. Because Christians are willing to stand up and go to the lions, okay? Rather than burn a pinch of incense to the emperor. Now, not all Christians are saints. Some are going to cave. You know, that was a big deal back in the day. In Constantine's day, there was a controversy because some Christians turned over the holy books and cooperated with the persecution of Diocletian or Domitian. I forget which one.
Yeah, Diocletian. Yeah,
but the Christians also forgave them, Hitler mustache and all. We forgive Quislings. In fact, I think Judas would have been forgiven if he had held out for 3 days. Because did he do worse than Peter did? Peter was forgiven. Peter was told, go feed my sheep. Jesus Christ actually fed him a fish dinner. Who gets a fish dinner when you someone you've offended? Someone you sent to the cross and you went, oh, I don't know him. I don't know this guy. So, yes. The problem is we Americans, I won't speak to the Australians, we Americans put as our first thing public health safety and trust in Dr. Fauci. Trust in bureaucrats who don't even practice medicine. And we said, we must believe the experts rather than believing what our own eyes are telling us. I looked outside the window. There were no bodies piled up in pyramids on the streets, okay? It wasn't happening. It was all fake. It was all Big Brother. We put that first. We put that above God, and so we closed our churches. Okay?
Yep.
If God does not smite our nation, it's because he is more merciful than he should be. Not that I'm criticizing God. I like mercy. I need the mercy myself. But good golly, Miss Molly, if you think you would not cooperate with the Nazi prison guards, reread Decline Fall of the Third Reich.
Well,
read it and you'll see. That's human nature. That is really human nature.
That is really
what the leftists are trying to do. You see?
But we had that test and we failed.
We failed.
And as a nation, basically.
As a world.
We failed. But Some of us stood up. Some of us stood strong.
Sure, I didn't get the jab.
I didn't get the jab. Some of us held.
I wished I'd had more help from the Catholic Church because I went in. I offered a religious exemption argument to my superiors, and I work for a government contractor, and the government contractor wants to do whatever the government says. And I could only find some cardinals and archbishops saying, "This product is made from the embryonic stem cells, which require the death of a human being in order to create. We cannot condone an innately immoral behavior. We cannot condone this jab. You can't use it. If you're a Catholic, can't take this. You cannot take this injection." And I said, "Okay." Hmm. Now, I should say, my wife is a Christian Scientist. They don't go to doctors anyway. And just for the record, their recovery rates are better than people who do go to doctors. Not by a lot, but by enough to make it a little kind of spooky. Okay? We have a First Amendment in America. No one should be able to force a Christian Scientist to do anything medical. No one should be able to force any free people to do anything medical. I realize that during a plague, you can have quarantines, but you're supposed to quarantine the sick, not the healthy. No one in the history of the universe has ever quarantined healthy people. What went wrong? Hmm. They put safety, they put ego, they put self above the common good. They put the human laws above divine laws. They put local law, they put local regulations above the U.S. Constitution. They put Dr. Fauci above the earth. They put the second things first, and it turned into a devil. Dr. Fauci abused his power and became a madman in front of our eyes, contradicting himself, giving testimony he knew was false, and people made little saint candles to him.
They did. Oh, they made votive.
They made
candles
votive candles to a expert because they thought he was enlightened. So.
Yeah. Well, on that note, that's we run to time.
And if there's any second thing you should not put first, it's Dr. Fauci. Let's pray he be arrested.
He's
the worst of men in America at the moment. They're bad men.
That's
but
true.
I'm just saying, for this news cycle, he should go to jail. Okay? And we my country will fail another test if we don't persecute these people that persecuted us and trampled on our liberties. They have to be punished. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
That needs to be done in order to restore first things first and second things second. When the cosmic order is out of balance, you get nightmares. You get a devil. You get horrors. And when the order is put back in balance, that's what justice is for, including sometimes really harsh justice. Okay? So that's why. That's why. First things first. God goes first, and everything else comes second.
Comes second, and if you do it in the right order, everything will go well.
And you'll get the second things also. We could do another hour.
You get them in abundance.
We could do another hour just on that, just on that idea. If you, the thing you have to give up in sacrifice, you get back tenfold.
Indeed. So. Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. Thank you for chatting with John, and we'll see you next time. Like, share, and subscribe.